Good morning, everyone. It's a blessing to be here this morning to worship God together with you all again. It's a beautiful new day and just a real blessing to be able to be here together with you all, to be with God's family. And yeah, it's a special day today. It's a new day that the Lord has made. His mercies are new every day, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we give this day into your hands. Lord, we thank you for the blessed privilege that we have to be worshiping you together today, to be gathered together as children of God, to be gathered together as brothers and sisters in Christ, with the same faith, with the same love for you and for each other, truly a blessing. Lord, I pray that you would use me as a vessel only, Lord, as was shared in the children's lesson, that this tongue could bless your people and not curse. Lord, that would be a blessing. Lord, and even speak through me and to those that hear, and even to me, Lord. Speak through me and to me. Lord, we will give you all the honor and glory for it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, yeah, I want to greet you all. God bless each and every one of you. It's exciting to be able to be here and have this privilege to share God's Word together with you and read through it and learn myself as I study God's Word and share. I pray that the Lord would also speak to me, and He already has, and may He speak to each one of us this morning. This morning, I just wanted to start off by asking the men a few questions here. And as it goes with men, we all oftentimes have the same questions, kind of a pattern among us men. You know, what's the question that we ask each other when we get together? We try to get to know each other. So a lot of times it says, we ask, so what do you do for work? Isn't that right? No, what do you do? And that's how we kind of get to know each other. And so that's what I want to ask you this morning. Men, what is your profession? What is your profession? And I want a few answers. I already know what many of your professions are. I know what you do for work. But what is your profession? What do we do? Don't be shy, man. Fabricating, that's your profession. That's Joshua. Okay, who else? Say it.
Renovating.
That's a good profession.
Retail.
Retailing, that's a good
profession.
Growers, good profession. Praise the Lord. How many hours do you put in with your profession? I put in Monday to Friday, half a day Saturday sometimes. I do about 52. How many hours do you put in?
34.
That's a good job. Good profession. Good. 50 to 60. Who does up to 70? Anybody close? Yeah, farmers, right? Farmers are way up there, close to 70. Nobody does 80. No 80-hour men here. Yeah, even the farmers, they're nodding back there in the summertime, I'm sure. Well, God bless you. You are doing what God has created you to do. You're providing for the family. I know you don't do it because it's just simply fun, and part of you does enjoy work because we're created for it, and yet it's a sacrifice we do for the family. It's a God-given responsibility for us. We are told in the scriptures that he that doesn't provide for his own is worse than an infidel. And we take that to heart, and we know that we need to provide for our own. And so we put in 50 to 60 to 70 hours a week, sometimes 80, and we do it in a sense for the Lord. And that's a blessing. So God bless each one of you. Moms, what is your profession? Somebody say it. Okay, being a mom. Well, what does that all entail?
I call it a domestic engineer.
Domestic engineer. That's a high-paying job. Moms, what is your profession? homemaker, keeper at home. And what does that all entail?
Serving.
I think it entails a lot. How many hours do you put in a week?
24/7.
So I did some math. You all know I like to crunch numbers, so I just figured 7 to 9, at least, 7 in the morning to 9, 7 days a week, so about 98 hours. Yes, it's 24/7, but 7 to 9 would give you 98 hours, and if you're a nursing mom, you're getting up in the night, middle of the night, at least an hour extra a night. You got 105 hours, so anywhere from 98 to 105 hours is the average mom. Sorry, farmers. The mom's got us beat. The mom's got us beat. So, yeah, I want to bless with the tongue today, all the moms. And I hope that it can be a blessing to you all. You know, moms have many hats. They wear many hats. And maybe some of you don't know what I mean by that, but it's an idiom. It means you do a lot of things. You're a chef, you're a nurse, you're a teacher, you're a seamstress, you're a counselor, you're a psychologist, you're an event planner, you're a household manager, you're law enforcement, you're laundry service, you're a moral support agent for your children and for your husband. And I know the list can go on and on and on. And I didn't research the value, but I know a little bit what they're worth. The chef is worth about $50,000 a year. The nurse is worth about $70,000 a year. The teacher is worth about $50,000 a year. The seamstress is worth about $65,000 a year. The counselor is worth about $60,000 a year. The psychologist is worth about $100,000 a year. The event planner is worth about $70,000 a year. The manager is worth about $80,000 a year. Law enforcement is worth about $80,000 a year. Laundry service is about worth $40,000 a year. Moral support agents are worth about $40,000 a year. And this wasn't all the things that I listed yet, right? So we're... Now, if we could put earthly value to moms, I know we'd have a lot of million-dollar moms among us. I know we would. But how can we put earthly value to a godly mother? We can't. And as I share you today, I want to be an agent that can bless you. You know, there's no way that you can put value on a godly mother. There's no way you can put a number on it. The work you do is eternal. And the wise man said it well. He said, the virtuous woman's value is far above rubies. Far above rubies. And so that I did. I researched the most expensive ruby. And it's a beautiful little purple ruby. It was sold at an auction 11 months ago. And it's a 50 carat diamond rock. It sold for $35 million. It's a beautiful little stone. But what is that compared to a godly mother? When my dad thought he got a good deal, he always said, "Dat's warm priest." "Oh, dat's warm priest," he said. Warm priest, that's a German idiom for something that's as cheap as a worm. That's dirt cheap. So compare a ruby worth $35 million to a godly mother, that's warm peace. The most expensive things this world has to offer doesn't compare to the value of a virtuous woman and a godly mother. So mothers, may God richly bless you all. I want you to know that the labors that you put in to your family are not in vain. God knows them very well, and you shall have your reward. And you're going to have your reward in this life and in the next. So may it serve today as a blessing for you all. And I understand that there are some among us who have not been blessed with children yet. But may God add his blessings to you too. Because as I share this morning, I'm sure as was prayed in the prayer room this morning, there are many of you who aren't mothers, still are that motherly influence to somebody else. And that blessed me. I believe it was you, Brother John, that prayed that there are many who are not mothers, but they are godly, motherly influences to someone else. So apply this to yourself, too. Whatever I share, apply this to yourself wherever you're at, in whatever stage of life you're at. So may God add his blessings to you, too. And also apply it to your lives, because you are many of these things to your husbands. Much of what I'll share, you know, we just talked about that whole list of things. The mothers, they wear these hats. And so a virtuous woman who has a husband also wears these hats. She is also a chef and a nurse and a teacher and a seamstress and a counselor and a psychologist and a household management and, well, I hope not law enforcement. I hope that's still the husband. But laundry services and moral support agents and all these things, they are these things to their husbands. So may God add his blessing to you as well. So let's turn to Proverbs 31:10. We'll go through the scriptures speaking of a virtuous woman. Proverbs 31:10, and we're going to read to verse 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he will have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ship. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her candle goes not out by night. She lays her hand to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen and sells it, and delivers girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household, and eats not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So what I want to do this morning is go through these verses one by one and speak a little bit about each verse and see how the Lord can encourage all of us. It's a little bit different than I normally prepare a message. It's normally not expository, but this is how I felt the Lord lead this time. So let's go through these verses one by one, starting at verse 10. So it says here, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. These verses don't only speak about godly mothers. I want to lay that out right away. They speak about women who love the Lord and are virtuous in their character and who do good works and follow the Lord with all of their hearts. These are women that are virtuous, and their prices are far above rubies. But for godly mothers, I would say even more so is their value there, because they have the children underneath them that they rear up. But any woman whose heart is to serve the Lord, this is who Solomon is speaking about. And as I was studying this, I learned that ancient tradition actually assumes or says that these words were first penned by Abraham. So Abraham, after the death of his wife Sarah, penned these words in memory of her. And so when we know that, some of the verses that we're going to go through will make a little more sense. But we know that Sarah was a virtuous woman. She was a hero of faith. She was a godly woman. The New Testament encourages women today to be like her. She knew what it was like, and she knew what it meant to be underneath the headship order of God and to be in her right place. 1 Peter 3:6 says this about Sarah: "Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement." And I thought that was interesting that, you know, so often we think about Abraham as our father through faith. We are children of Abraham if we have the same faith as Abraham. But here he says that you are daughters of Sarah through virtue and faith. You are daughters of Sarah if you have the same faith and works as Sarah. Just as Abraham penned these words in memory of his wife Sarah, may it be for you ladies that your husbands would have the same testimony of you. That my wife is a woman of faith. She is a woman of virtue. She loves the Lord. She honors me. She is a good woman. May that be a challenge, and I believe a reality, but also a challenge to keep up for you ladies today. Moving on to verse 11, it says here that the heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. And I would like to reword this here a little bit. Her husband trusts her from his heart, and she will prove to be a great asset to him. He's not concerned that she's going to dishonor him when he's not around. But he knows that she's going to lift him up when he's not around. He's not concerned that the vision of his household will not be kept up when he's not around. He's not concerned that she's going to take advantage of his MasterCard. He's not concerned about those things. No, but he trusts her. He knows that she is a God-fearing woman. He knows that she is a woman of virtue. Verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She understands her place and position of authority, and therefore she works to bring him not harm but good. And this is the consistent testimony of her life. It says, all the days of her life, she will do him good and not evil. I will bless my husband. I will support his vision for our home. I will honor him. She will do him good and not evil. And I just wanted to give that as an example that men need the support and blessing of their wives. They really do. You know, we may seem tough and strong on the outside, but really we need you. We need our wives to support us. The reality is that without your support, we are crippled and we cannot perform the way God has intended us to. That's the reality. The reality is that there's power that a woman has in a man's life that is very oftentimes underestimated. And believe it or not, the husband, most of the time, will do what he can to please his wife. Even if that means pulling away from some of his other pursuits that he may have had. But for the most part, he will do what he can to please his wife. Even if he needs to pull out of some of maybe some service that he does for God. But if he can please his wife instead, very often he will do that so that he can have a happy wife. Now, the opposite is true, that the woman has power in his towards her husband to be a powerful motivator. She can encourage him and strengthen him to be all that God has called him to be. And what has God called us to be? God has called us as men to be leaders in the home. He's called us to be godly fathers, loving husbands. For many, God has called us that are born-again Christians to be movers and shakers in God's kingdom. But he needs the support of his wife. So wives, an encouragement to be there to support your husband in his calling. The husband of a virtuous woman knows that she is out for his good at all times, and he is strengthened in her support. Verse 13, it says here, she seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. Remember in the context that I shared that Abraham penned these words about Sarah. And as I read through a few different commentaries, I read the same interpretation of this verse. And this is, in a nutshell, how I understand this verse. This verse speaks of a woman who is an authority, who seeks material, who seeks building material so that her servants have something to do, so that they're not idle. And yet she's willing to take that material and build herself. She works willingly with her hands. She's willing to get her hands dirty and lead by example. She has the authority to give it down to the servants, but she's willing to do it herself so that she can lead by example. Maybe we don't all have servants, but we all have children. For you mothers, you all have children. And I want to use that as a picture that you would train your children and not only tell them to do something, but teach them by example what it looks like and how it's done. And in godliness, there comes authority. I preached a message a while ago about the power and authority that a righteous man has, but I believe the opposite is true, that there is power and authority that is God-given to a virtuous woman also. There is authority there, and it's an honor, and it's a well-earned authority that a woman has. Verses 14, it says, she is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. How is a virtuous woman like merchant ships? You think about what would happen if transport, if the merchant ships of today would suddenly stop. You know what would happen? Our economy would crash. Poverty would rise. People would become desperate. It would be really bad. But because there's a constant flow of trade, there's ships delivering goods all over the world, there's trucks, transport trucks, always going back and forth, dropping off, picking up goods. It's a great blessing to us. And the economy keeps going and is blessed because of that. And I think it's an underestimated value that has that we don't think about a lot of times. But this is what a virtuous woman is like. She is like a merchant ship. She keeps things going smooth in the home. And if she would stop, everything would crash. There'd be a recession in the home. A correction would need to happen in order for the home to keep flowing smoothly. To give an example, how did you men fare when the ladies went for a 3-day retreat a few months ago? I think there was half a dozen or so ladies, or 10 ladies that went. How did you fare? That was 3 days. You know, I'll tell you how I fared. First of all, I had to brace myself. I knew this was coming for a long time. I prepared in my mind, okay, she's going. And then when she did go, I come home, and the supper's already ready, so that's good. Day one, we ate, and then since it's going to be so boring now, we kind of just went for a cruise, me and the girls. I think we went to go to McDonald's to get some ice cream, and then went to somewhere else, and then when it was almost time to go to sleep, we came back home, and that was day one. We made it, right? Day two, went to Grandma's for supper. Thanks, Grandma and Grandpa. All right, Zach took care of day two. Day three, okay, well, let's see what we can do in the, see what we can muster up for supper. Let's open the fridge and see what's in there. And lo and behold, she had already prepared something for us. She already knew this was coming. Okay, that's day three. And then she comes home. Praise the Lord. There was a bit of a correction that happened. Things worked a little bit differently. But eventually, if this would keep going, there would be a recession. And then eventually there would be a depression. And eventually something would have to give. They're like merchant ships. They keep things going smoothly in the home. Thanks, moms. Thanks, wives. She rises also while it is yet night and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. It is a virtuous thing to rise up with your husband in the morning and help him to get ready for work, to read with him in the morning, to pray with him in the morning, to prepare his vitamins and send him on his way. And then to wait for the children to get up and to prepare breakfast and to bless them as they get up. That is virtue. That is godliness. That is a blessing. And should you be this wealthy princess like Sarah was, it says, and she gives a portion to her maidens. Should you be this wealthy princess, even though you had the wealth, you would still serve them. That is virtue. You know, so often wealth can make a snob out of somebody. But to be able to have wealth and still be and still serve the servants, that is virtue. And so, again, we see that in the context that Abraham was writing this to Sarah, that she gives a portion to her maidens. Verse 16 says, she considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. And maybe you're wondering where I'm going to go with this. You know, we don't expect you to go and buy a 10-acre or a 50-acre plot of land and start building, growing and planting seeds. That's not, I don't think, expected of the women. But moms, I want you to consider the fields that lay before you every single day, the fields of your children's hearts. And I want you to buy them, no matter how expensive they are. I want you to buy those fields. Earn those hearts through love and care and respect, and plant a vineyard in those hearts. Plant the seed of God's word in their hearts. Teach them diligently through words and through actions and through your life what it means to follow Jesus. Plant those seeds. It will take 20 years, and maybe your work will be done in planting seeds, and then you'll start seeing the fruit of it far sooner than that. But for the most part, there's about 20 years that we have to really influence your children's lives, and I would encourage you to buy that heart, buy that field, and plant those seeds. The mother, I believe, has the biggest impact on a child's life than anyone else will ever have. And I will say, if you are doing your duty as a mother, this will be the case. And an encouragement then to be a keeper at home. I believe that's the duty of mothers, to be keepers at home. Titus 2 says, love your husbands, love your children, be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to your own husbands. This is the duty of a mother. And in doing so, you are fulfilling God's will for you. And you're a blessing, a great blessing to your children. Verse 17 says, she girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She takes courage and she pours her whole heart into her work. She pours her whole heart into her ministry. And your ministry is your children at home and your husband, your family at home. Pour your heart into that. Verse 18 says, she perceives that her merchandise is good. Her candle goes not out by night. Now, mothers, can you see that? That your merchandise is good? That which you pour your hearts into is worthwhile? You're rearing up children. You're caring for their souls. You're instilling faith and love into their hearts and into their minds. Your work is an eternal work. It's not just rolling steel or building a house. It's an eternal work that you do. And never get discouraged because you're just a stay-at-home mom. You know, like society has made that look like a bad thing. So what's your occupation? A stay-at-home mom. And then they almost look down at that. I'm a homemaker. Moms, that is a blessing. That is a blessing that you are that. And that another thing is that is a blessing is it sounds like society's finally seeing it. I'm not sure if you've heard. I just recently heard it last week, and I'm glad I heard it because it helps make a few points here that you heard of trad moms? That's the new fad? Trad mom? Who's heard of a trad mom? Go trad moms. A trad mom, you know, those moms that are, or people are trying to be more traditional now. They're trying to bake cookies again. You know, they're seeing the blessings of being homemakers. You know, trad moms are in now. But with God, they were always in. We always knew that. But for how long did society make that look like a bad thing? But now they're coming to their senses. Praise the Lord for trad moms. And there's a lot of trad moms among us, and there's a lot of trad moms in the making. And I believe trad moms are world changers. They raise up a generation of godly children who move and shake the world in a good way. She lays her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. Praise the Lord for trad moms who know how to use a needle and thread, who can sew a dress for themselves and for their daughters. And they don't feel the pressure of the fads and trends that the world is always constantly trying to push on them because they don't need to go to the mall to pick out their clothes. They just go to a fabric store and buy themselves a nice piece of fabric and go home and build themselves and their daughter some dresses and they start sewing. Their children are watching and learning too, and that's a blessing. That is a blessing. She stretches out her hand to the poor, yea, she reaches out her hands to the needy. The virtuous woman cares for the poor. And I thought about the times that when you all get together, and there's more times that I'm sure that I'm not mentioning, but when you get together and you work together on quilts, and I know that this thing has been up and down, and it kind of newly got started again, but I want to encourage that. Cutting those squares, you know, I think that's what you're doing now, cutting those squares and handing them down to the next group of ladies that will put them all together and finalize them, and eventually they'll come into our shop, the Christian Aid Ministry shop at home, and that's a great blessing. You see some ladies come in with bags and bags of brand new quilts. That is a very desperate need right now. And you will get a blessing for just cutting those squares. I would encourage you to keep doing that. She stretches out her hands to the poor. She reaches forth her hands to the needy. And this way you do that. And it won't be long and they're in containers going overseas and somebody's receiving the blessing of that. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet. She's diligent. She sees the hard times coming from way ahead. She sees it and she prepares for it. And she's not hit by surprise. You know, I was going through a picture book last week, and because of this verse, you know, things pop out at you. But I seen some of my children in a picture, and they were all playing in the snow. And I especially noticed our youngest one. He was 1 year old. I don't know if he even would have known how to walk in the snow yet. But he had this big suitie on, and he was warm, and he was cozy, and he had a big smile on playing in the snow, just sitting in the snow. And I'm sure it was minus 10. But she's not afraid of the winter. Her children are clothed with scarlet. Let it come. She prepares for her children. And I wonder sometimes, I thought about this, that sometimes I wonder if it's August already and she's like, hey, children need new winter boots. Maybe not that soon. But for sure by September, it's already rolling in their minds. Hey, children need new winter jackets this year, need new winter boots, need gloves, need all this, and she prepares. This is what godly mamas do. They see in advance the need that their children will have, and they start and they prepare for it, and they're not afraid of the winter. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. The virtuous woman takes care of herself. And when I say she takes care of herself, I mean she's kept up. I'm not talking about vanities like gold and silver and jewelry and makeup. I'm not talking about that. That's not virtue at all. But she takes care of herself. She's kept up. She's dressed well with quality clothes. And it matches up with her quality character. The virtuous woman takes care of herself. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. And I thought this was interesting to note that the virtuous woman gets credit for the husband who is known in the gates when he sits with the elders of the land. And it's because of what I shared before. A man of God cannot be what he is without the support of his wife if he's married. He cannot be. So there is credit that goes to a woman of virtue when the husband is known in the gates among the elders of the land. There is credit that belongs to, in part, to the virtuous woman that stands behind him and supports him. Thought about the verse in Genesis. God already knew it in advance. It is not good for man to be alone. I will prepare for him a helpmeet. He created Adam to rule the world, but it was not good for him to do it alone. He needed a helpmeet. There is credit that goes to the virtuous woman, to the helpmeet. She makes fine linen and sells it and delivers girdles unto the merchant. And I believe this speaks of her integrity. She makes fine linen, quality. She's not going to cut corners. She's not going to sell number two, garbage material and try to get gain out of that. She sells quality. She wants to give something good. She wants those that receive goods from her to be blessed and say, wow, this is truly a blessing what she gave to me. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. Just like the fine linen that she sells, her clothing is the fine linen of strength and honor. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. What is the beginning of wisdom? the fear of God. She has wisdom because she fears God. Where does how does the law of kindness flow out from her tongue? It comes out of her heart because she loves Jesus. The love of Jesus is overflowing in her. And because of that, the law of kindness comes out of her. She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. She works hard, she manages well, and she eats not the bread of idleness. She's not lazy. She's diligent. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. I hope this is a reality for all of us, that our children would say, God bless you, Mama. After supper, that they would say, thanks for the food, Mom. It tasted good, Mom. You're the best mom in the world. You're the beautifulest one. And then maybe Mom says, no. Yeah, you're the beautifulest one. Yes, you are. Her children rise up and call her blessed. That should be the case for any godly mama. Her husband also, and he praises her. God bless you, honey. You're a good woman. You're a good mother. Husbands, do you bless your wives? Do you bless your wives? Do you teach your children to bless mama? Children aren't going to do that on their own. A child left to itself will bring its mother to shame. But a child taught to honor and bless mama will honor and bless mama. I believe it's the duty of us as husbands and fathers to teach our children to bless mama. First of all, by example, and then by word. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. I'm not sure what the world would have for examples of women who did some good thing, who who've done some virtuous things. I don't know. I didn't look any examples. But none of them compared to what a godly mama does every day for her family. Thou excellest them all. Or a godly wife. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. What does that mean, that favor is deceitful? I thought about a person that I personally would know who's a very charming person. She knows how to say the right words. She knows how to use the right words and almost tickle your ears a bit. But it says, but I know that she's a fake. It's just that she's good with words. She knows how to find favor in people. Favor is deceitful. A charming person can be a liar. Beauty is vain. Outward beauty lasts but for a while, and then it vanishes away. But a woman who fears God has an eternal beauty. That's what I want to lift up here today. Mamas who fear God, women who fear God, who bless their family, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. That brings us to the end of Proverbs 30, verses 31, 10 to 31, speaking about a virtuous woman. And I just want to use those verses to encourage you mothers and you wives, and to let you know that your job is a very crucial and a very necessary job that this world desperately needs, that our society desperately needs, and that our children desperately need. Godly mothers are in high demand. Now I encourage you also that you would dedicate your children to the Lord. Give them to the Lord at an early age. Give them to God. In Exodus 13, verse 1, I'll give you some time to turn there. Exodus 13, verse 1. We have an example of a law that was given to dedicate children to the Lord. 13 verses 1 to 2. It says there, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whosoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. Sanctify them to me, the firstborn." The first question I had was, why? Why sanctify the firstborn? And the reason that this law was made was because this was shortly after the Passover. And you remember in Egypt when the 10th plague came, that the death angel was going to come and destroy and kill the firstborn of all those who didn't have the blood of the lamb over the doorpost. But those who did have the blood of the lamb over the doorpost would be spared. And so on that day in Egypt, the Bible says that there was not a house that wasn't affected because of the firstborn that was killed throughout the land of Egypt. But Israel's firstborn was saved. And so it seems like because of that, God was saying that there was something very special. These are special, this is, first of all, something that will remind you of what happened in Egypt. But it was a very special, there's something special about it that the firstborn would be consecrated. The firstborn would be set apart. It would be holy. It would be a child of God. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine. And then I had another question is why? Why just the firstborn? And in the Old Testament, it was the firstborn. But compared to the New Testament, it should be all of our children. The Old Testament, in many ways, was a shadow of better things to come. In this area, it was a shadow. It was a picture of something that happened in Egypt. And it was, in many ways, the Old Testament was simply a shadow of better things to come. And in the New Testament, everything is God's. And to give an illustration of that, in the Old Testament, there was also a law that was called the tithe. The first fruits of all thine increase bring unto me. It is mine. The rest, they could do with what they wanted. But in the New Testament, we must have the mindset that everything is God's. More than a tithe. It's all God's. And we are simply stewards of what He has given to us. And it's the same way with children. Our children are all God's. We have been entrusted with the souls of children in our homes, but they're all God's. And we must dedicate them all to the Lord, especially if we call ourselves Christians, especially if we fear the Lord. Absolutely, our children must be sanctified and consecrated and blessed, and we must dedicate them to the Lord. Not just the firstborn, but from the moment of conception, give that child back to God. Before that child is conceived, give it back to God already. Pray in advance. Lord, if there's a child, it is your child. As Hannah did. It is your child, God. It's not mine. He may be your little man, but he is God's little man. He may be your little daughter, but it is God's little daughter more than he is yours. So give that child to God. We are simply stewards of what God has entrusted to us. Finally, I want to encourage us as husbands to be there for your wives and bless your wives. You know, when I come home from work and I open the door and I smell the food already, and there's order put in place, and the children have learned so many things in school that day, and they're prospering, and supper's well on its way, and things are flowing well, maybe into our minds, husbands, maybe we think, well, that's how it should be, right? That's how it should be. But I think oftentimes we take it for granted. We take for granted what our wives actually do. We as husbands, we forget how much labor goes into this type of atmosphere. We like this type of atmosphere. It's our vision for the home, but it's oftentimes upheld by our wives when we're gone. And so it flows so well, and things go so smooth. And I'm not sure if you've ever seen a duck, how it just kind of glides over the water. It just looks so nice, right? It's going so fast. And it's a beautiful picture. But we never consider what's going on underneath the water. A lot of work. We don't see that. Those feet, they're just pedaling. And all we see is how smooth it's going. And we tend to take away some credit that I believe belongs to the mothers and to the wives. We don't really consider what's happening underneath the water. A lot of hard, unnoticed work goes into motherhood. But mothers, God notices. Every diaper changed, God notices. Every band-aid put onto a sore that doesn't even bleed, God notices. Every drop of sweat, every sleepless night, every tear that falls, He keeps it in a bottle, and a record is kept in His book. God knows, and your labors are not in vain. So God bless you, mothers. I pray that you would be faithful until the end. We need you in our society, and may God bless you very generously. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come before you again this late morning. Lord, I give everything that is shared into your hands, and I pray that they would serve as a blessing and encouragement to all the women of virtue among us. Lord, there are some women of virtue that have been serving you for many years. There are some that are women of virtue in the making. I pray that you would bless them and prosper each one. Lord, that you would receive honor and glory, that our families could be blessed, and that our children could grow up to know you and serve you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.